Hey, Christ Church, it is great to be with you. I'm Pastor Bob, and the pastors here at Christ Church. It is fantastic to be with you and begin a new series called Ancient Prayers. And this is going to be our summer series, so we're going to finish out the summer walking into the lives of some of those folks in the Old Testament and looking at how they engage with God, how they're in conversation with God, in the hopes that we can, by looking at their experience, we can glean some principles and some practices and bring those into our life, into our generation, so that we can experience those powerful prayers just like those folks did in the Old Testament. So I hope you're going to be with us every week. You're going to walk with us, meet these folks, and see how they engaged with God in this powerful, prayerful conversation. Today, we begin by looking at a conversation that God has with Abraham, or Abram. And Abraham, you know, is the guy that kind of God chose to begin it all. When God said, hey, I'm going to reclaim the world, and I'm going to do it one person at a time, he looked over the world, and he started with Abram. Clear the confusion. In the beginning, he's called Abram. God changes his name finally to become Abraham. You'll see both of those names today as we go through the text. But God looks over the world, and he chooses Abram as kind of that beginning point. And so God comes to Abram, and he makes an agreement with him. He said, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. That is Abram's part of the agreement, right? He is supposed to just trust God no matter what. He's just supposed to step into following wherever God leads him. Just step into that faith. Just step into going wherever God is going and follow him and just be that person that is exclusively for God, right? No other gods, just God. So Abram's part is just trusting him no matter what. And then we get God's part of the agreement. It says, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I will do, right? I'll do this. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you'll be a blessing to others. God is going to multiply Abram's life in lots of ways. He's going to multiply his ancestors. He's going to multiply his resources. He's going to multiply his name. He is going to take care of him in all ways. He's even going to protect him. He says, I will bless those who bless you, curse those who treat you with contempt. So he's going to put his presence in Abram's life, and he's also going to put not only his provision, but his protection. And the goal of this is that God begins with one, with Abram, with the idea, with the goal, with the ultimate vision that through this one, beginning with the one, one person at a time, he is going to reach all the families of the earth. He says, all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. That's right. You are here because God started with Abram. You are part of that vision of God starting with Abram to reclaim the world to himself. And each of us, followers in Christ now, we're here because God made that commitment to Abram, and Abram followed. Abram signed up for the agreement. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Just remember that one. Lot went with him. Lot is Abram's nephew. He's going to show up later on here. And so we have this agreement where God is willing to just take care of Abram if Abram will just follow and will just absolutely trust. And that agreement is agreement we walk in too, right? We just walk in that same kind of agreement of saying we're just going to trust God in all the situations and all the circumstances of our life. And yet in those situations and in those circumstances, we get the opportunity and the privilege to be able to reach out to God, to be able to be in conversation with God, to call upon his name and invoke God in the conversation of prayer. And that's also what happens in Abram's life. Now, we're not going to see Abraham down on his knees in this kind of formal experience of prayer. What we're going to see is Abraham is visited by God, and he begins a conversation with the very presence of God. It shows up in chapter 18 of Genesis, right? What we just, the agreement was made was way back in chapter 12. Now, in Genesis 18, it says that the Lord appeared again to Abraham near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. What happens is the Lord shows up along with two angels. So there are three guests that come and visit Abraham. And Abraham welcomes them, and they sit down and they have tea and biscuits together, right? And they begin a conversation. And what's really unique about this isn't simply an angelic visit. This is what we call a theophanic appearance. That is, that the pre-existent Christ is showing up to become engaged in a conversation with Abraham, that the pre-existent Christ is now entering into and engaging with Abraham in this prayerful presence and conversation. In chapter 18, conversation begins. They're having tea and biscuits, and the Lord says to Abraham, listen, God's made promises. I've made promises to you, and I'm going to fulfill those promises. And one of those is you're going to have an heir. You're going to have a son. Now, even though you and Sarah are obviously way beyond the years of childbearing, doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. You are going to have a son by this time next year. And so he makes that promise, reaffirms that promise of an heir for Abraham. And if Sarah is listening and overhearing this back in her tent, she's kind of eavesdropping in, and she, of course, hears that, and knowing her situation, she laughs. And then there is this kind of call out where the Lord says, you know, Sarah, you're laughing. Sarah, of course, in her humanity, says, no, I didn't laugh. And the Lord says, no, you laughed, right? And that's the end of the first half. And then the Lord and Abraham get engaged in a conversation. And this is the focus of today. This conversation is this prayerful kind of interaction between the Lord, the pre-existent Christ, and Abraham. And as we walk through this prayer experience between the Lord and Abraham, we're going to be able to glean some things that we can just grab onto and immediately bring into our own everyday conversation and prayer experience with the Lord. The first thing we're going to see is that there's just some things we know about God. And one of the things that becomes obvious right away in this conversation is that God wants to do whatever is best for Abraham. And that's God's nature. That's part of who he is, that God just wants to do the best for his people. He is jealous for his people. He always, always, always wants to do whatever is the best for his own people. We see it right away in the conversation. Before Abraham even says anything, right? Before he makes any utterance, before he makes any kind of request, in verse 17, the Lord begins to kind of have a self-conversation. He says, should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asks. He's not asking Abraham. He's kind of having an internal conversation with himself, saying, listen, what is the best thing I can do for Abraham? Should I tell Abraham what I am about to do? Is it in Abraham's best interest that he know and understand what I'm about to do? And then the Lord begins to convince himself about the answer to that question because he wants to do what is best for Abraham. He says, for Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. You see him kind of building the evidence for the outcome, right, to the question. He says, I've singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Hey, listen, this is got to do what's best for Abraham, and not just Abraham, but for his ancestors who come after him. You know, the Lord is convincing himself, I got to do what's best. Then I will do for Abraham all that I promised. After all, I promised that I will do everything good for Abraham. It's part of the agreement. It's part of the covenant that we just looked at. And so in the very beginning, we see this evidence that God in his nature always wants to do what is best for his people. Now, before we get too excited, before we get too puffed up in that and say, yo, hey, awesome, God, me, good, great, wonderful, you also have to step back and look at Abraham's posture and Abraham's attitude in this conversation. Abraham, for his part in the agreement, he understands who he is before God. Abraham, you'll see, continues, even though he boldly asks, he continues to have a posture and an attitude of humility. It shows up in verse 27. Then Abraham spoke again. Since I have begun, let me speak further to my Lord, even though I am but what? I am but dust and ashes. Reminds me of one of my favorite worship services we do here at Christ Church, that Ask Wednesday worship experience, where I get reminded that I am dust, and to dust I shall return, and yet I am valuable dust, dust that God loves, dust that God fashions and forms. And so here you have Abraham reminding himself, being in this posture of humility, and again and again and again in the dialogue, he retains that posture. He says, then Abraham said, since I have dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. He never takes for granted the privilege he has to be in conversation with the Lord. He never takes that for granted, even though he knows the Lord will always act according to his promises and in Abram's best interests. Now, with those two things in mind, what happens? Well, Abraham makes a radical ask. You see, this is something we know, because we know the nature of God, because we know he wants to act in our best interest, and because we know we can approach him in this posture of humility and equally in boldness, we can make a radical, bold ask. And that's part of the character around here at Christ Church, right? We believe in radical generosity. We believe in radical forgiveness, and we believe in radical prayers, where we're able to come before the Lord in all humility and yet speak boldly. And so Abraham does that. He speaks boldly. He says, so the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sins is so flagrant. The Lord begins to unfold for Abraham, look, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. It's about Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, some of you may know about that story. You may know about Sodom and Gomorrah. For those that don't, Sodom and Gomorrah is like the worst of Las Vegas on steroids, okay? I mean, it is flagrant is the word here. It is really, really bad. And yet in the midst of it, as the Lord begins to unfold his plan, unfold what he's doing to Abraham, we see a hint of grace. It comes like this. He says, I'm going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. What happens is the Lord comes and he sends the two angels to go and experience firsthand, to look firsthand and see the situation in Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a hint of grace. Right? Even though God knows, even though the Lord knows, he says, listen, I've heard the outcry, it's flagrant sin. Even though Abraham knows that God is a holy God, and as a holy God, he cannot deal with and tolerate unholiness, right? He can't deal with that sin, and he has to judge that sin. It's part of the reality of his nature too. And yet here we get this small hint, this evidence of God's grace. That before he just enacts judgment, he leans into the opportunity to provide grace. Before he enacts judgment, he leans into the opportunity to say, I need to know for sure, because what I really want is grace. What I really want to achieve is forgiveness. And Abraham gets bold, and he makes the radical ask, based on what he knows about this God who seeks grace. He says, suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city. Will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Those words there, spare it, they equal in essence forgiveness. He's saying, Lord, listen, there may be a lot of wicked people there, but maybe there's 50 faithful people. If there's 50 faithful people, will you enact forgiveness on the whole city for the sake of the 50? And then Abraham and the Lord go through this ongoing dialogue as Abraham keeps pushing and he keeps boldly asking about God's leaning into forgiveness. And he says, listen, are you going to do it if there's 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about, Lord, how about if we find 10? Just 10. 10 righteous people. If we find just 10, will you lean into forgiveness? Now remember, way back at the beginning, we talked about Lot. Guess who lives in Sodom and Gomorrah? That's right, it would be Lot and his family. And so Abraham is asking, knowing that Lot and his family live in the city. He has a concern for his nephew, but he has a bigger concern for the people that live in the city. Now, archaeologists tell us that in all probability, as best as they can guesstimate, that those cities, the population of those cities, was probably about 250,000 people. Think about this ask. Abraham is asking God, listen, will you lean into grace and forgiveness if there's only 10 people out of 250,000? Abraham is trusting what he knows about God, that he is not only a righteous God, but he is a gracious God. Listen, I hope you hear loud and clear today in your own life. You can lean into grace. You can trust God's forgiveness. Maybe you're not one of the 10 or one of the 50. Maybe you're part of that Sodom and Gomorrah experience in your own life right now. Maybe you're carrying some of that burden or some of that guilt, some of that shame. You need to hear loud and clear today that God wants to do what is best for you, and he wants to forgive you. And he will forgive you because he wants you to experience a whole new life. You can lean into grace. You can lean into forgiveness. And that's true not simply for us individually, but that's equally true for us in terms of our communities and our cities. Abraham is making a big ask. He's saying, listen, Lord, if there's just 10 out of 250,000, are you ready to forgive the entire city? We got a lot going on right now in our cities. And it would be easy for us to just kind of look at that situation and make just quick judgments. When the ask that the Lord would make of us is, say, are you ready to forgive? Are you ready to step into grace just as God steps into grace for you? You see, powerful prayers rest on the nature of a powerful God. And he invites us to look and act and be like him in the world. This guy named Martin Luther, great leader in the church, had his own struggles in his time, right? He says, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, it is laying hold of his willingness. Remember the covenant with Abraham? Abraham, here's what you do. You follow wherever I go. Abraham, you just follow wherever I lead and wherever I go. This is our prayers too. That in our prayer, we count on the nature of God, and yet we're willing to follow wherever he goes. We're willing to go ahead and trust him no matter the outcome. because we know Him. We know God is a just God. That's what Abraham counts on in this prayer and in this conversation. He's boldly asking, and he counts on the nature of God. And he counts that God is always going to do what is right and what is just. Listen to what Abraham prays and says. Abraham approached the Lord, right? And he said, "Will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why would you be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same? Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right?" Answer? Yes. He will. He must. God in His nature will always do what is in the best interest of His people, and He will always do what is right. And He will do that leaning into grace. Remember, how much grace is He willing to display in this experience, in this powerful prayer with Abraham? 50? Yes, grace. 40? Yeah, grace. 45? Grace. Yeah. 30? Grace. 20? Grace. 10? Yes, grace. The answer is always the same. I will not destroy it if. You see, He leans in His nature into grace and forgiveness. Now, you may be sitting there this morning and saying, "Okay, wait a minute, Pastor Bob. I know this story. And the outcome of this story is Sodom and Gomorrah get destroyed." Yep. It's one of the saddest places, one of the saddest commentaries. He couldn't find even 10. But grace, forgiveness is still evident. It is still displayed. How? Remember that guy Lot? Even though it wasn't 10, God still rescued Lot. Why? But God had listened to Abraham's request. What was it? Abraham's powerful prayer of persistence, relying on the very nature of God. God remembered and leaned into grace and brought out Lot and his family. You see, we can have powerful prayers when we go and we follow the willingness and the nature of God. And so often in our prayers, the temptation is to make the conversation not about Him, but all about who? You know the answer. All about us. Abraham, in this powerful prayer, focuses on not only the nature of God, but he focuses on the people who aren't here yet. You see, this is also true, that we know in our prayers God wants to reach those that are far away from Him, those that aren't here yet. Now, there's a challenge in that. The challenge is that He asks us to do a big ask. He asks us in our prayers to think not simply of ourselves and our own needs and our own wants and everything we want to bring before the Lord, but equally, knowing the nature of God, to pray for those who aren't here yet. Jesus would make the big ask of you. Jesus would make a big challenge for you. He would say, "What? Listen, you say, love your enemies." Yes, I say, love your enemies and do what? Pray for those who persecute you. You see, there's an ask. That you and I, as Christ followers, would imitate the very nature of the God that we just discovered in this powerful prayer with Abraham. That we too would first and foremost lean into grace. Do what is right, do what is just, but do it leaning into grace. Because we know it's true in our own life. That God has already forgiven us. God has already accomplished new life for us. We hear it in the New Testament, right? But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, even though we were just as dead, what did he do? He gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, and it is by God's grace that we can count on the nature of who he is. And we know he is always going to do what is best for us. And we know he is a gracious, good, and loving God. And we know he is just, and he will always do what is right. And we know that through us, he still wants to reach all the families of the earth, just like he did with Abraham. And through us, he invites us to engage in powerful prayers with big asks, not simply in our own needs, wants, and desires, but big asks for those that are far away from him. See, I want to challenge you today to grab your phone, go into your contact list, and find three people in that list that you know are far away from God. They may be near to you, and you may be in relationship with them often, but they're far away from God. And begin praying. Do the big ask. Pray that God would use you to build that bridge into their life. Do the big ask that God would use you as a vehicle of grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being who you are, that you are a good and gracious God, that you are just and yet you are forgiving, and you still seek to reach all the families of the earth. And we give you thanks that through Abraham you have reached into our lives and brought us the incredible gift of your Son, Jesus. And so as Abram had that conversation with that very presence, so we pray that you would be present in our lives. Reveal yourself and encourage us to lean into your grace, not simply for ourselves to know that forgiveness, but that others can know that forgiveness and that new life in you. Keep us ever conscious to ask boldly for the lives of others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.